This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hey guys, here's a message from one of our partners, SpiderVPN. As we all know, browsing the internet can be full of hidden dangers and snoopers, but you can easily protect yourself and at the same time get access to all your favourite websites and streams by using SpiderVPN. They have some amazing offers right now and I come highly recommend it. Check them out at spidervpn.org. And get yourself some great offers now. And don't forget to mention Dazzling Dave or Always Wolves to get yourself a real nice discount. That's spidervpn.org.
Good evening. Good evening to everyone. I've got a nice little Christmassy backdrop as we're entering Christmassy week. So I thought I'd try and be a little bit festive. And this is the Extra Time Show for what is another goalless draw for our team, Wolverhampton Wanderers, against another title-chasing team in Chelsea. The difference with this one, in the last two against Liverpool and City, we actually managed not to concede. I thought Jose Sarr made a really good save in the second half. Wolves obviously created, I think, more chances, especially in the first half. We know that there was a little bit of doubt over the game in terms of, obviously, we know that Chelsea actually put in a request to have it postponed, but it was rejected by the Premier League. So I've no doubt that we'll come into that. And we've got some guests already lining up, some in the green room. So we've got loads and loads of great contributors for this one. And we're going into the Christmas period with Wolves on 25 points, eighth. I know that we've probably played a game more than most, but I think after the first three games of the season, with the run that we've had, to still be in and around the eighth position is still pretty good. So before we get on to the first of our guests, let's have a look down who we've got. Carl Whitehouse, Merv Bennett, Trudy Price, Wolves FC, Kieran, Barry. We've got Katie Merricks is here as well. Loads of people in chat. I think Manny's here. I don't know whether Manny's coming on. I've sent him the link. We've got loads here. So please let us know where you're watching from in the world and who you're watching with. I always find it fascinating to see where people are from. And please feel free to share this on any WhatsApp or Facebook groups. Do us a favour, smash a like to the video because it lets YouTube know that it's popular. And we're going to go and kick off straight away with Extra Time Royalty. Hello, Paul.
I'm not quite sure I deserve that accolade, to be fair, but I'll take it.
Well, there we go. That looks so much better. Well, it is. You're a regular contributor on this and a very popular contributor as well, along with some of the other people as well. And you've been doing it with us for a long, long time now. And it was good to accidentally bump into you before the game today. with you and your two girls and you. I think was it your cousin or?
Yeah, it's with my cousin today. Yeah,
your cousin, because your dad's not very well, is he?
No, he's out of action with COVID, but he's pretty. He's been feeling pretty rough with it, to be fair. But hopefully back for the Watford game if that's on.
Yeah, your dad's such a lovely bloke. Was it what game did we? Was it Villa?
It was, yeah, Villa. I think he's seen you at Villa. Yeah, he goes everywhere though. He hardly misses a match ever, so you probably see a fair bit of him around.
No, that's good as well. And you also managed to get a picture with Michael Keightley.
Yeah, he's a really nice bloke as well. He was just mingling in the fan zone before the match. It's a good atmosphere there, actually. There's
popped down. I've actually got a little bit of it on my match vlog, which will be out tomorrow. I've got the Wolfpack Owlers on there as well. So you might be on there in the background somewhere.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. I mean, going back to like late, 2007, 2008, that he was in his prime then. And I used to really love watching him play. So direct, real goal threat, great at crossing as well. I actually think he's the last person I had on the back of my shirt.
Oh, really? Keightley?
Yeah. So, but he's a really nice guy. Just had a lovely chat to him about his son is playing football to a good level now. And he was telling me he's only 36, Michael Keightley.
But is he really? Hold on. How old's Matinho?
35.
I know. Yeah. That's mad. He's playing for the All-Stars now, isn't he?
Yeah. He's telling me he's had 7 operations and it's got to the stage where he was trying to play and it was taking him days to recover from a match. Yeah. So he just doesn't play to any level now, which is such a shame because, like I said, I think he was such a talented player for us and a big reason why we got promoted as champions in 2009.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he's always going to have a place. So can you imagine, though? I mean, the All-Stars team, you've got him and I think Manny was saying that when he played a game, and I think it was like Keightley and Jarvis or someone like that.
Wouldn't fancy being fullback against them.
I know, crazy. I hope they haven't come up against me yet, though, in my number 10 position. So when I played on the pitch earlier on this year in the game that was organised by the Fancast, I wasn't fully fit because I was still getting back to my full fitness. Playing tennis, from a lot fitter now. So I think if I get a game next year, and they play me in the actual right position, which is like where I normally play, at number 10 or, you know, that type of thing, I think I can cause a lot of damage because I am a bit of I'm lethal in front of goal.
People, I'm expecting a call up myself.
Hey, you what? Sorry,
I'm expecting a call up.
Well, mate, like, we'll just basically, everyone will think we've got Jotter up front with you. Let's get on to the game today. I mean, what? Give us a quick overview of your thoughts initially.
Yeah. Overall, I'd say it's a point gained. I wouldn't have settled for 0-0 at the start of the match because I did believe that we were good enough to sneak a win. And if you'd have asked me at half time, would you take 0-0? I still would have said no, because actually I thought up until half time, if we'd have gone 1-0 in at half time, 1-0 up, I couldn't have complained. I think that we edged the first half and we restricted them to next to nothing.
I think we more than edged the first half. Yeah. I gave Chelsea my halftime when I do my halftime report for the vlog. I'd say I give Chelsea the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes of the half, but everything in between, I felt that we were the better team, controlled it, had the better chances. It might have been a different story in the second half, mind you, but the first half, I think we were deserving of that lead.
Absolutely. It's a shame we didn't go in 1-0 up, because I felt if we did score, that would have been game over, really. I think whoever scored the first goal was going to win 1-0 that match. But, I mean, against the European champions, we're having a discussion about whether, you know, we're happy with a 0-0 or not. I think it's a big indication of how far we've come in general. And I haven't seen the offside goal from Pedence, but I think with offside, it's pretty much black and white, isn't it? It's either on or off. Have you seen a replay of that goal?
Well, to be honest, I have seen a replay of it. And also, Paul, I don't know if you've seen it, but I actually got the goal And I sometimes put goals up, but I've never put a disallowed goal up before. But I have put on my channel, which you can all watch, it's only about a 30-second clip, which is the Daniel Pedant's disallowed goal. Now, I've kind of watched it back, obviously from my angle, and I've watched it back on the Sky highlights. And Raul is in an offside position. He is. He's about a yard in front. And I think he tries to shoot, or he tries to get onto it, but he doesn't touch the ball. And they're basically saying that the goal was disallowed because Raul was interfering with play. Like, it's like sometimes they have someone distracting the keeper or whatever it is, but he wasn't standing directly in front of the keeper. I think that Mende was half-dived to save it, and then it goes out to Daniel Pedant. And he puts the ball in the net. Now, it's again, it's another VAR. It's gone to VAR. It's been I think there's 24 seconds between a scoring and the flag going up or something daft like that.
Right.
And to me, I think it's a bit harsh because I think even if Raul isn't in that position and he doesn't try to shoot and it goes to Pedant, Mendy, I don't think, saves that goal anyway. I think he's clear through. He puts it away. I don't think he'd save it anyway. But we were celebrating for a while, and then it was like, what? It's been disallowed again. And there was nothing on the screen, was there?
They've stopped doing that, haven't they? And it's a shame, really, because it's important to communicate with the fans, clearly. I think the cross is probably intended for Jimenez, though. And if he's right in the middle of the penalty box, you know, we can have no complaints about that. But one thing I did want to say on the show tonight is against Liverpool, obviously, we defended really well. We offered nothing going forwards in that match. Maybe the first 5 or 10 minutes, but it was better today because we offered quite a bit for a sustained period of time. In that first half, we were in the ascendancy. If there was going to be a team going in ahead at half-time, it was going to be us. So I did see a more front foot approach to the Liverpool match, which is what I wanted to see. We know how solid we are. We know we're a very difficult team to break down against. What we all want to see is, okay, can we offer a bit more threat going forwards? And we did that today, I think. So I'm pretty pleased with the progress.
That's one of the things I said, I think, on my match, reaction straight after the game. I felt, although not so much in the second half, but we did offer more offensively. It was just disappointing that when Traore come on, we never really got him into a position to run at or attack. And we kept losing the ball a lot in the second half. There's a question here, a thought. Does anyone else think Kante, who I thought had a very good game for Chelsea, and you can see why he's such a quality player, that little guy is brilliant, watching him play today.
Yeah, magic.
But anyone else think that Kante should have deserved red? But again, VAR was against it, didn't do anything this time to stop his hand. Pedant was clear, one-on-one. And I think that's an interesting point. What's your take on that?
Straight away, I shouted handball. I mean, it's
the whole stadium shouted it.
Yeah, the assistant, the referee's assistant, is right opposite. Is right next to him, and I'm surprised. Well, maybe I'm not surprised, but I did shout for a handball straight away. So, be interesting to see that one back. And the comment there about, you know, denying him a 1v1. Well, it would have, wouldn't it? Because Pedant would have been through and there wasn't anyone else near him. So
it would have been. And he did hit his arm. But again, it seems like I don't know whether we have got gold tinted glasses, but we always seem to be on the wrong end of every VAR decision.
I can't remember us getting one ever.
To be honest, I'm struggling myself, to be honest. But it always just seems like, I mean, that he's clean through. He stopped the play. He's hit his arm. How intentional it is, I don't know. But it's his arm's out.
I can guarantee, it was more of a handball than the one given against Moutinho, against Man City, where it's hit his back or armpit. Guarantee it would have been more of a handball than that.
Well, Kieran Russell says, hi, David. Yeah, he blocked it. I think I've mentioned just Manny's put in the chat, Kante was handball, Pedant was through. You know, If it was the other way around, the Wolves player would have been sent off. That's kind of how we feel it. Roger Thompson saying clearly handballed it. Neil says VA sort of decided to cheat as usual. But yeah, I mean, I felt that the whole stadium, you don't have the whole stadium shout in, you know, at the same time, handball, yeah. We heard it, and then the referee just plays on, and then you get the boos after that, and that's what the fans thought of it, booing, because we were just like, couldn't believe it, and then you get the you not fit to referee, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, in that first half, what I think the key was to being in charge of it was how high we pushed our wing-backs on.
Yeah.
There were so many times, if you'd done a freeze frame, and Marcel possibly would have been our highest player up the pitch.
Yeah.
And I think that was a real positive because it pushed Reece James, who's one of the best right wing-backs in the country.
He's a talent, Reece James. He's got shots right back.
Nullified him in an attacking sense, but also it got us up the pitch a bit. So maybe Bruno's learned from the Liverpool and Man City matches that if we try and push a couple of players a little bit higher up, it can pen them back a bit and brings the game higher up the pitch. So I was pleased to see that. That's one reflection I'd share, really.
I think Marcel has done quite well. Obviously, coming last minute for Ait Nori, who's been absolutely fantastic. I mean, Bruno Lage talked in his press conference how they've been working on Ait Nori's defensive side of the game. I think you've seen that. Have you or heard anything about the injuries to Ait Nori or Wang? They've not really said anything clear.
They've said nothing about it, and it's a bit of a mystery with the Willy Bolly absence. Today's not been drawn on that, has he? He's keeping his cards very
coy. I was talking with the producer about this, and it was very, very coy about what he said about Bolly, and you know, it was kind of like we'll may talk more about this going forward. But so, know what do you think Bolly want is after a move? What do you think? There's something more in it that is this injury? I don't know.
He can't be happy that he's not getting picked. He's been a real top player for us over the past 3-4 years.
Has. He was one of the first players under Nuno. He'd be one of the. He was almost a shoo-in to play every game.
Probably our best defender, but
yeah,
he can't argue at the moment about not being in the team because the three lads that are playing at centre back are doing a fantastic job, and that's why we've only conceded. Was it three more goals than Leeds have conceded in the last week or season?
Last in one game, yeah.
So he can't complain about not being in the team, but he probably feels disappointed he's not in the team. But manager's fully within his rights to keep him on the bench because who'd you drop for him at the minute?
Well, 100%. I mean, you have to say, I think, and again, let's celebrate. The defence, everyone has improved greatly since last season. I think that's a fair comment. I think Connor Cody is in the form of his career at Wolves.
That tackle in the first half on the edge of the box.
Amazing tackle. And, of course, in the second half, I think it was, when they're attacking, there's a ball coming across and he gets the right side of his man to block it. He seems to be in the right place. You know, and you do worry when he goes down because we know he's been struggling with an ankle injury and he gets back up again. Kilman's big, magnificent. He's so strong. He wins virtually everything in the air and he's taught. And Soyis, I used to worry about Soyis playing in the defence. But, he was kind of my man of the match today against Soyis. The way he played, the way he got some really important tackles. He's in the right place. I'm going to be interesting to hear your man of the match in a minute. But yeah. I didn't go to Brighton's first game I've missed all season, so I kind of like he got the goal as well. So maybe that's why I kind of edged it to him. Yeah. But I think it's the way we've been defending. We haven't conceded a goal. Tell me if I'm wrong. From a set piece this season, have we?
I've seen that stat flying around today, and you're absolutely right. We should be really proud of our. Defence, and obviously our defence is playing well, but it's a whole team reason that we're so difficult to break down the midfield, the attack. They all worked really hard. And I think a lot of credit has to go to the manager for that, because they're not new players that's doing it. Don't forget, last season we shipped 4 goals to Burnley, to West Ham, to Liverpool. And they're so well coached and so well organised now that that gives us a great platform for the second half of the season. And if we can start to add, when the likes of Neto maybe come back, a little bit more magic in that final third, then we've only got to score 1 goal to win a match, because you trust us to keep a clean sheet. I think it's 7 clean sheets in 18 matches, which isn't far off. What is it, about 45%, something like that?
Yeah.
And that's a fantastic stat that any team in the league would be proud of.
I think that's true. I mean, Clint Thornton says the defence is immense this season. They play like they enjoy it too. Surely we're the best in the league of keeping that shout. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I bet you Jose Sarr is in a lot of people's fantasy football team now, aren't they?
Yeah, well, he's the top scoring goalkeeper in Fantasy Premier League.
I mean, he made a really good save again in the second half when he was needed.
Yeah, he didn't have an awful lot to do today, but he was coming out for corners and claiming them. He was looking to get us on the attack as soon as he could. And that save from Pulisic, where he just sticks up a big hand, you know, that's got us a point, that, because he probably should have scored.
Yeah, I mean, again, he was so fast to close down the angle, and he made that save. I've been really, really impressed with him. Paul, before we get on to your match score and your man of the match, what were your thoughts on Hoover coming into the side for Semedo today?
I can only assume he's carrying a knock, Semedo. It's a bit like, remember when he left Ruben Neves on the bench against Leeds away?
Yeah.
He didn't want to put him on the bench because he was injured, but he felt like he had to because there's no one else.
Yeah.
I can only think he's carrying a knock, because I've been a critic of his in the past, but I think this season he's really stepped up his game. He's contributing very well defensively. He's offering good glimpses going forward as well. So I can only assume it's a knock, because we haven't had fixture congestion, so I doubt it's a rest.
Mm.
You know, we've still got a good week until Watford, so must just have a knock.
Must have a knock, absolutely. And Paul, to finish off with, what's your match performance rating for this one?
If you'd have asked me at halftime, I'd have given it an 8.
Yeah.
I'll probably give it a 7 overall.
Yeah.
I'm pleased with the performance. And if it was just based on the defence, it'd be like a 9 or 10.
Yeah.
But I think in the second half, we did fade and maybe lacked a little bit of quality when we did get the ball back. So 7, I'm saying. Man of the match, Marcel, for me.
Marcel? This is going to be interesting, because we now have the pundits vote, and we have the members vote towards who are actually watching and commenting at the end. So you're going to go with Marcel. Explain to me why you're going with Marcel.
A number of reasons. I was thinking about it driving home, because I knew you'd ask me. It was his ball, I believe, which led to the disallowed goal.
It was a great cross, yeah.
And like I said, in the first half, I think he was a big reason for, you know, us being in the ascendancy. Also, I mentioned earlier, Reece James, top player, didn't have a kick, no crosses, no chance to link up with his forward players. And also on that side is Mason Mount, who's got 4 in his last 4. Didn't even know he's on the pitch today. And I think Marcel, who has had his critics from supporters, you could say he has his limitations. Today we saw his strengths. He's very solid, keeps his shape very well, not rash when he gets the ball, and he does have the ability to put a decent ball in, like we saw at Watford away as well.
I tell you that's the point. And I think he's hungry, because he was out the team. Obviously, Ait Nori's got injured, and as always, Joe's, you know, Bruno says, if you got the shirt, it's yours to lose. And he really seems hungry to hold on to the shirt, because he knows if his performance levels slip, okay, Ait Nori might be carrying that injury, but we've got Johnny coming back soon as well.
Exactly.
But, you know, you've got to perform. And that, I mean, when we got Johnny back as well, down that side, we're going to have a lot of strength in depth.
We've got 3 good players.
Oh, exactly. And I thought Hoover did all right. You know, yeah. I thought he faded in the second half. I thought at first half he was thinking, and he made a few straight passes, but I thought I mean, he came on against Liverpool last minute and he wasn't up to the pace of the game, and that's when they got the goal. But I thought it was good that he got an opportunity today.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. He did make one or two mistakes in possession, but he kept Alonso very quiet, who's an attacking left wing back. Also on that side was Ziyech, who got withdrawn, which tells you all you need to know about his performance after an hour, non-existent. So, yeah, for a 19-year-old lad playing against the European champions, I think he should be, I think that he's had a good game today.
Absolutely, mate. Paul, as always, you put on some great views. It's brilliant to have you on. Thanks for coming on, getting you on first this time. And hopefully we'll be able to talk more after the Watford game.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, thanks for having me on, and have a good Christmas, all the listeners that are tuning in.
Absolutely, mate. Merry Christmas to you and your family as well.
Cheers. Yeah, good to see you.
Cheers, Paul.
Bye-bye.
So that's Paul. Always comes across with some brilliant, brilliant views. And we do have some great guests coming up. Up next, we've got Max over there in Australia, Melbourne. Then we've got the lovely Carrie that's coming on for her second appearance. And we're going to close the show with Jack, who, again, is becoming a bit of extra time royalty on here, who's always listened to and give some great comments as well to close the show. So we're going to welcome on Max. Hello,
hey,
Max.
How are you going?
Good day, mate.
Yeah, good morning. It's 8 o'clock.
What time were you watching the match today?
It was about 1 a.m., I think.
So 1 a.m., not too bad.
Yeah, not bad this time. I was able to get through the whole game pretty well, yeah. I thought today was an all right performance from us.
Yeah.
And, you know, just looking at our results from the top three teams, you know, Liverpool we considered very late, Man City, obviously a penalty, and Chelsea, 0-0. I mean, just unbelievable. I think really good performances from the team today. I mean, just today I thought a decent performance in terms of, you know, how we were defending and, you know, stuff like that. And it was really, I think we were really rolled by VAR as well today, Dave, when I was looking at, you know, that potential goal and what happened with Kanto.
I'll tell you what, I'm guessing you were celebrating that goal like the rest of us.
Yeah, I was going crazy. And then when I saw what happened, I was like, I just couldn't believe it. It was really annoying to see. When they had, I think they said 23 seconds it took for the ref to put the flag up, which was just, it was really annoying, Dave.
Well, I've got to be honest, mate. I've make sure everyone watches on the channel, because I put the Daniel Pedence goal up and you can see how we're celebrating. The actual goal, and then I kind of like, we're celebrating, we've got the
that was going off the wall,
turned round, and then it's like I couldn't believe that it was disallowed, because it was such a great goal, the way we moved the ball. I know they're saying about Raul and this, that and the other, I'm not sure the keeper would have got to that anyway, because it was going across the pitch, but it is what it is with VAR. We it seems to happen to us all the time. There's loads of people. Hi to you as well, Max.
Yeah, hi everyone in the chat. Hope everyone's excited for Christmas this year.
Yeah, I mean, Max, actually, whilst you're on, let's talk about Christmas Day for you, because you're in Australia, and it's December. Because for me, and most of us over here in the UK, December's a very cold month with potentially snow, and you saw the conditions at Molineux today. But of course, July and August is our summer. But July and August is your winter, innit?
Yeah, it is.
Whereas December is your midsummer, innit?
Yeah, we're in summer right now. We're getting like 25 degrees a day usually right now. So the weather's pretty good.
Tell us what your Christmas day will look like.
Well,
you have a Christmas tree up.
We don't have a green tree. We have like a little white. We have like a white tree. A little white tree. Yeah, I do have one up though. After the Christmas decorations up, but how my Christmas normally is like, normally we have ours at lunchtime. So like, I'd get up, you know, about 8 o'clock. Yeah, get the Christmas presents out. Then I'd go to my auntie's house or something like that. And we'd normally just spend the day there, you know, open presents, having lunch together, you know, having dessert, just speaking really. Yeah, we don't really have, like, over here, normally Chris is at the during the...
You don't have roast turkey?
Nah, well, yeah, not really. I don't know. Well, not my family, at least. Normally we have...
Do you have a barbie?
I don't know. Normally we have a barbie on New Year's Eve or something like that. But not on Christmas. We normally have pasta, like lasagna or, you know, chicken, meatballs, you know, salad, stuff like that.
Yeah, I just find it like in the middle of summer, having Christmas, find it for us.
Yeah, hard to compute.
But you're obviously used to it, but like, I've just thought that would be fast, but you do have a Christmas tree, even though it's white, but fair enough.
Yeah.
So getting back to the game, what impressed you about Wolves today?
Yeah, obviously, I think the defence, you know, our back three, and have just been really constantly good for the team. Obviously, when you look at the results, you know, that's why we just keep playing them. Cody Sice and Kilman, they were just, very good today. I thought the defence, I mean, to stop the European champions, you know, from even scoring, you know, and we were just, you know, as you said with Paul, you know, early in that first half, you know, we were, you know, doing pretty decent, you know. Yeah, it just showed, I think, our back three are just doing really well this year. I mean, a big improvement. And just to see how the sides we're playing, the defence we've had, it's just, you know, it's just been really good. So, yeah, really happy with the defence today, in my opinion.
Fantastic. And what are you going to go with your performance rating?
Oh, yeah, I'd probably go with a 7. About 7. That's a very, I think, a solid performance, you know, to get a point out of, you know, our top three team is, very good for us, in my opinion.
And your man of the match for you?
I was going to go with Saison.
You was going to go with Saison?
No, I'm going to go with him,
Who's the other one that's in contention?
I don't know, probably. I don't know, to be honest. Maybe one of the other, back three. I'd probably give it to Cody. Yeah, I thought he was pretty good today as well,
Apparently you're going to go with Saez?
Yeah. Well, from the game, what I've seen, a lot of people and, what I saw, he was good today. He was really good. And I think, he was probably our best defender today in, stopping big Chelsea players and getting through us.
Absolutely. Well, Max, I think that's with one vote for Marcel and one vote for Saez. And, of course, at the end, we're going to give all the people in the chat the chance to vote on the nominees. So we've got Marcel and Soyi. So that's quite interesting. Final thoughts from you on today?
As I said, just a really solid performance from Wolves, And, next week I feel like we can get a good result, hopefully 3 points against Watford. I think, are we playing them at home? Watford at home?
It's Watford at home on Boxing Day. Of course, Watford, the last two games have been postponed because of the COVID situation.
Yeah, so they could, be strong.
How is things over there with you in Melbourne at the moment? Have you got much of this Omicron stuff?
We're getting over here, we're getting about 1,600, 1,800 cases in Melbourne. I think maybe 1,300, I don't know, something like that. But Sydney are like double us, I reckon. That's what I've been hearing. But, I do have some cousins who've got... I think one of them did get the Omicron, and they can't even come to our Christmas now. So, it has been a bit, I don't know, for me, it hasn't been, some of the family can't make it, it hasn't been too bad over here, not compared to England, but it is still affecting us over here, I would say that. But
well, you stay safe. And, of course, we want to wish you and your family over there in Melbourne in 25 degrees worth of sunshine, enjoying the sun when it's been cold and foggy and wet and miserable.
It is a bit sad, but it must be nice, getting inside. It's a warm night at Christmas, having a turkey. It must be really nice still over there.
Absolutely, Christmas. Max. Yeah. Well, Max, all the best, and we'll look out for Max. I'm sure you'll send in your international fan.
Yeah, I'll send it in in the next couple of hours.
All right, Max. Take care, mate.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Dave. I'll see you next week for the Watford game.
Merry, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, mate. Thank you very much.
Something that we need to come on to, and I'm going to come on to it a little bit later, probably when I talk to Jack at the end, already about the Boxing Day fixtures. I actually talked about this as a suggestion myself before the game. And Manny's here also said about the Arsenal game, rumours of the games in the midweek next week will be postponed. And we will. I think we need to come and talk a little bit about that towards the end, but I'll save that for when I get on to Jack at the last, because I'm sure Jack will have some insight and interesting as well on that. But next up, we're going to welcome... Hello, Carrie.
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. And you were at the game today?
I was at the game, yeah, I was.
And where were you sitting today?
Billy Wright.
You were in the Billy Wright. And I thought Molyneux was in good form today, the fans.
It was, yeah, it was. Although, they put the attendance up, and I must admit, I didn't think that there were 30,600 there. I thought we were with those numbers today. But definitely a good singing voice, as always.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that the last couple of games, we'd been a little bit quieter than normal. I think the weather doesn't help, does it? You know, when it's sunny and everything's there, everyone's like, you know, when it's cold and everyone's there.
It was freezing today as well. It was really cold today.
I've got to tell you, my feet at the end, my touches on my toes, they were really cold.
It was freezing. I wasn't expecting it to be that cold either today, but it was. So
I know. Wolves F1, good evening, Carrie. Good vibes. Adrian Jones saying hello. Kieran says hello, Carrie, which is really nice. Max is saying hello as well. Barry's saying hello to you. If you like seeing Carrie, come on after the match, make sure you smash a like on the video and put a comment as well, because I'm sure we can encourage you to come, because it's always good to get the female fans' perspective as well at the game. And give me your thoughts on the match as a whole.
I thought first half, arguably, one of our best first halves of the season. You know, I thought we were solid again defensively. I thought second half, we lagged. I thought our passing second half, you know, was questionable at times. I thought first off, we were really good. And, you know, to walk away with a point from Chelsea, as much as we all wanted the win, I think it was a good point to walk away from. So, yeah, I thought, you know, overall.
You know, I was having a chat with some people at the end because I did the film and I got a couple of people come over on my Instagram reaction. And they were kind of saying exactly that sort of point. Before the match, they were saying, I'll be happy with the point. But after the game, they were like, I feel like we could have got three.
Yeah.
So a little bit like you, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I haven't seen the goal back yet. And like you, we're all celebrating. And then it was just nothing. Like, it didn't come up checking possible offside. It didn't come up anything on the screens at all. It just wasn't there. And it was like, okay.
That's the thing that was really, really frustrating for me. And I don't know if anyone can throw it. There's a new directive from the Premier League, but, you know, nothing came up other than there was a flag over on the thing. There's no communication. We're like left wondering. We see a flag go up, but that's 24 seconds after the goals got in.
Yeah.
And you're like, and we're all going on. I mean, I don't know if you're me. I'm going on to the BBC app. I'm going on to Twitter.
Yeah, to see what's going on. I phoned my brother. I was like, he's at home. My brother was at home. So I phoned him. I was like, why is that goal being disallowed? And he said to me, because Raul was offside. I was like, okay. But it would have been nice. I mean, we're there watching it. It would have been nice to have some insight.
This is one of the things that really gets me down and really annoys me. You pay your money. And I'm sure Jack has mentioned this as well. And, you know, he's quite passionate about this. But you pay your money. You go to a game. And you're in the stadium and you're having to ring your brother. Is it your brother?
Yeah.
Your brother. You're having to ring your brother who's watching the match somehow to try and understand what's happened. That can't be right.
No, it is frustrating. Why they're not putting it up on the screens? I don't understand the logic in not doing that.
Well, Carl Whitehouse says VAR didn't intervene with the decision to the offside. But Carl, the thing that I say to that, if that's the case, why did the flag not go up as the ball hit the back of the net?
Yeah.
Why did it take 24 seconds for it to go up?
Yeah.
And I think it's because it did go to VAR. It must have, because why does the linesman let the players celebrate for 24 seconds and then just go offside? Makes no sense. Yeah. Their objective on the linesman is to, or the assistant referees, is to let play go, and then if there's a thing, then when they touch the ball or let the play go, pull the thing, but not to let the celebrations go on for 24 seconds.
No.
I mean, no. Manny says here, liners don't flag anymore, get back to basics, 100%. Like they let the play go on, but 24 seconds.
Yeah. They do. They let it go on way too. I mean, today is an exception, I think, 24 seconds. But any game that you watch now, either there or on TV at home, you're like, why is the flag not gone up yet? It seems to be taking forever. It doesn't seem like it's instantaneous anymore.
Manny said he's watched online. There's no VAR screens on the TV either. Mm-hmm. It's, the linesmen are late flagging offside. Yeah, they are, but not 24 seconds. That's a long, long time. But hey ho. I mean, when you, from the Billy Wright stand, you must have been celebrating and then looked around and gone, what?
I literally had no clue at all. All of a sudden, I looked at the screen and it was like, it's nil nil. And I'm thinking, what did I miss? I don't know where I must have missed it, what I was celebrating, but.
We were all celebrating. Like I say, we were even doing the dirt celebration, yeah. You know. And
it came up on the screens that there was a goal.
Yeah.
So it came up to tell us there was a
goal. The score changed as well. And this is why I've put the Daniel Pedence goal up on my YouTube channel from the North Bank, so people can see in real time how we saw it and how we celebrated. So definitely watch that back, guys, after the extra time is finished, because it's about 34 seconds. It will be part of my match vlog tomorrow, but sometimes you need to put these things up. And I just wanted to show how we're celebrating, and then it ain't a goal, but there you go. What did you think of the incident regarding the handball with Kante and Daniel Pedence?
I don't know how it wasn't a red. I mean, you know, you look at the one against Moutinho and he hit his ribs and... You know, you think how that was a blatant handball. I don't know how that wasn't given. It's frustrating. I mean,
we show handballs like we all did at the same, like handball at the whole stadium.
It reverberated around the whole stadium and it went on for quite a while. You know, and like you touched on earlier, though, we've come to expect that all these decisions go against us. So it's not a surprise that it wasn't given, but it's just frustrating.
Well, the Reverend says suspicion decision as if they were waiting for a message from Mr. Big betting syndicate before cancelling the goal. Kante was a straight center. And I think Kante played well for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Adrian Jones saw the video, Dave. The flag went up late.
Yeah.
Barry says you seem almost paranoid about celebrating.
You do. Absolutely. You celebrate. You're like, should I? Shouldn't I? You know, what should I do?
And that's what's ruined. I mean, I'm an advocate personally for VAR. I think, you know, it's got a place, but it just, and I think it has been probably better this year in some of the tolerances. But the interaction with the fans in the stadium, has got to be better. It's got to be better.
Well, absolutely. It wouldn't have took a lot to put that on the screen today. It's not like you're asking for miracles, really, is it, for something to be put on the screen to be communicated?
Jake said here, Newcastle, I've seen this, had a Stonewall penalty not given today. Now, if you've not seen this, watch it on Match of the Day tonight. Or, you know, if you're listening to this back, check out the Match of the Day on iPlayer. Because I've seen this penalty and how it was not given. Big six sides seem to get every call from refs. We saw it against Man City last week. We saw it against Man United early in the season.
Tottenham. I mean, that was a straight red for Harry Kane. I don't know whether you've seen that today. That tackle was a straight red. No sending off.
And Liverpool got a player sent off, which was fair. Maybe was less obvious than the Harry Kane. I was listening to it on Talk Sport on the way back and they were saying... It's because he's England captain. He's not got sent off.
Exactly what they were saying. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what they were saying, actually, on Sky Sports.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Harry Kane's great and he's England captain and everything, but he was reckless.
But red's a red. It doesn't matter who you are.
It was out of control. It should have been a straight red.
I mean, it was studs up, and that's like that. I was listening to it on Talksport, and they said if his leg had been in another position, slightly different position, it would have been a break.
I know, and this all comes back to the VAR and the decisions that get made.
Yeah,
and you do wonder if the. I mean, I know Tottenham were playing Liverpool today, but you do wonder if there is favouritism. I mean, I like to think there isn't, but you do start to think, why is it that they seem to, these so-called bigger six teams get the decisions and the likes of us and Newcastle and you've seen Burnley and, you know, all the teams seem to not get the decisions?
Well, they're creating that controversy, aren't they, themselves by giving all these decisions because they're not right. They're completely wrong. These decisions are wrong. It's not as if you can argue that, oh, maybe it was on the cusp. You know, some of these decisions are clear cut and they're not being given. So you then have to start questioning why.
You absolutely do. You absolutely do. But I mean, I guess at the end of the day, you take the point.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Take a point against Chelsea. I would like three if I'm honest, but I'll take a point.
And we'd all have liked the three. You know what? I was kind of like thinking maybe today's the day against a team where we get a late goal and we win it. But we got Traore on, but again, Bruno makes the change quite late. He never really got in the game, did he?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he really had any impact on the game at all, if I'm honest. I think the fans were calling for him to come on maybe from the 60th minute. You know. He didn't get
had a good game though. But I mean, I also think we need to talk, and I'll talk more again with Jack when he comes on in a minute. Raul?
I think he was himself today, and I think it showed that he got took off. I mean, why? 89 minutes, questionably. But, you know, he didn't quite seem himself today, I don't think.
He was trying and huffing and puffing, but. Yeah. I did my instant reaction after the game, and I never even, none of us even talked about Raul.
No.
Which was a rarity. And that was kind of like, because he never really impacted the game much.
No.
I thought Daniel Pedence in the first half was, to me, he was going to be my man of the match up until the second half.
I think he's great. We need attacking players like him, like Neves now. He's become like a really attacking player. Pedence will go for it. He'll go for the ball. And that's what we need. And it showed today. I think he did really well first half.
He did. And we just never really got, I mean, we'd never really got a grip of the game in the second half. We kept giving the ball away. It was relentless Chelsea pressure. And, you know, the stats say that they had more possession, more shots. But both teams only had one shot on target. And I think Wolves probably were edging the stats at halftime, but Chelsea were dominant in the second half. We just couldn't get a grip of the game. They were closing us down. I think they might have changed the formation, brought a striker off, brought on an extra midfielder. But the defence were magnificent. Saar only had to make one fantastic save, which he did. He's there, like Manny said in the chat. He was, when we needed him, he was there.
What a signing Saar's been for us, really. You know, I mean, he's been brilliant, to be honest. I mean, that save against Pulisic today, I thought was brilliant. And I don't know whether it's him, but then the three defenders in front of him, you know, Cody, Kilman, Saïss, I think they just all have clicked. It just seems to have clicked defensively at the minute. And obviously that's our strongest area and it shows. Another clean sheet today.
Another clean sheet. Clint, we could do with a more forward-thinking midfield, coming on like Jordan, who was on the bench today. So he's obviously getting close to fitness. Jake said Donk has to score the header. We haven't come on to that yet, but to be honest, it was a great ball in. Was it Neves or Pedence that floats the ball in? I can't think who it was, but he was in the 6-yard box and he got it on target. But to me, he's got to be doing better with that header.
Yeah. Again, I thought Donk was quiet today. Like, it wasn't until that happened, really. You're like, oh, yeah, he's on the field. You know, I thought he was quiet today. But, you know, you can't be brilliant every match. You know, he did well, solid again. So, but yeah, he has got to be doing better on those headers. And normally, he's quite good on the headers, isn't he?
You know, we've seen him score some goals off headers, haven't we?
Yeah.
He just didn't have the power or the direction. In the end, it was kind of like a nice easy save for Mendy. I don't know whether I just felt that it was a big chance. And when you get chances like that, you've got to be finishing it.
I guess, especially against Chelsea, you know, you've got to take your chances when you get them. And I think today it was a good game, but it wasn't an exciting game. You know, it wasn't, you know, you weren't jumping out your seat. And I think, and, you know, against the likes of Chelsea, fine, that you'll take whatever you can get. But yeah, you've got to be taking those chances. You've got to get on the end of them and make the most of them, haven't you?
You have. And I mean, he was in the right position, but be interesting to see how that, obviously, again, you know, Wolves have got a very thin squad to January, and there's going to be all sorts of rumours and speculation, but about strengthening. I think Bruno keeps talking about strengthening. And I mean, does anyone know if the AFCON is still going on? After, I mean, because that's been rumoured that it might. I mean, that gets called off. That helps us out a bit. But it means I feel sorry for Saïss and Bolly. But, you know, it'd be interesting. So, Carrie, your performance rating?
I think I'd agree with the guys. I think it's about 7. I think, you know, that's good. I think they're on the ball with that 7.
And your man of the match, let's see your nomination.
See, I was toying between Saïss and Cody. And I think given that you've gone with Saïss, I'll go with Cody.
So we've now got Marcel, Saïss and Cody for them to vote on. Yeah. Which is interesting. So we're going to be interesting to see who Jack plumps for, because he's kind of got the casting vote. Well, we might go for a fourth player, and then we've got 4 on it. It's absolutely fantastic. Final thoughts from you?
Good point. Good game. Solid first half. Improving. We're improving.
Absolutely. And thank you for coming on again, Carrie. I appreciate it.
That's no problem.
And you have a Merry Christmas as well, but no doubt we'll talk in the week anyway.
Yeah. And you, Dave.
All right. Take care, mate.
See ya.
Cheers. That's Carrie giving a very confident perspective and thoughts. Good to us, as I say, here to from the female fans as well. And she talks really, really well. A lot more confidence on her second appearance. When you come on this show, when you make your debut, it's a bit nervy for everyone. But once you've got that one out of the way, it's kind of like, yeah, I can do this. And she spoke really, really well. And to close the show today, we have, thank you for waiting so patiently at the back end of the show today. Jack, how are you?
No problem. Oh, I'm all right, mate. Dave, how are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's been a decent point. We could have maybe had 3, but then you think, oh, we could have lost it potentially, but we didn't. We got the point. What's your thoughts on the match? Where were you sitting watching today?
I think it's better than a decent point. I think it's an excellent point. I think, you know, I mean, because on the way back, I looked at the match report and it said COVID ravaged Chelsea. And I'm thinking, hang on a second.
Yeah.
The team that they've put out there is still more than good enough for a Premier League. I know they've got COVID. I'm not disputing that. But that's still a fantastic team that they've put out today.
Do you know
and
what?
We more than match them. More
Do
than
you know what,
them.
Jack? It really, really gets it annoys me. Because you just know, whatever the result today, it's going to be COVID ravaged Chelsea. This is Chelsea that have got about 700 players. Okay, maybe an over-exaggeration, but they've got 2 or 3 squads. Wolves, they've got twice the amount of players that Wolves have got. And like you said, the players that they're putting on the pitch, and then they're like, boo-hoo, it's like, oh, dearie me, we can't play because we've got some people out. We've got players with COVID. We've got players out long-term injured that are key players. You know, we've got like, you can count them all off how many players we've got out of our squad. You know, we've got like under-23s on the bench. And like, you hear Thomas Tuchel or whatever his name, Thomas Tootsweet, who's bloody bemoaning, oh, we tried to get the match postponed. It's like, get on with it. Stop moaning. It's like it annoys me. Because we've got a much smaller squad than what they've got. And they're still moaning. It's like it works for them all the other times when they've got massive squads and they can like just change a player for a player, you know, and they've got like however many they can bring 9 off the bench and every single player's worth about 50 million. It gets my goat. Sorry, Jack.
No, I totally agree. I think that's the whole point of having a squad, isn't it? So that if you do get injuries or you have people unavailable, the quality in the team doesn't diminish to the point where, for the likes of ourselves, for example, we're probably not even the most extreme example. There are other teams that suffer even more when they have key players that are injured. You know, yeah. Chelsea's bench today cost more than our starting 11.
Well, look at this. I've just managed just put, they had 150 million on the bench. Their starting 11 was apparently worth about 500 million. I mean, it boils me. It really does. It's like, well, how they can moan. And that's what it was. If we'd have won today, I was telling you, because we had so many people out because they've got COVID or we've got injuries. It's like, yeah, we've got players out as well. And that's gets me.
It was, there's always an excuse in it. When they were talking about it before the game, Chelsea got COVID and et cetera, I was thinking, oh, I wonder when the team comes in, I wonder how serious it is. And then you look through, you know, Mendy, Azpilicueta, Silva, Rudiger, Alonso, Kante. You know, that's still a world-class 11 that they've put out there. There's not one player on that pitch for them. Let's get some, maybe Chalabar, who's a young lad coming through, isn't he? Who isn't a top-level Premier League player. And you know, COVID is really serious, and we shouldn't be sort of making light of it. But the point is, teams have a squad. You have a group of players, and if players are unavailable, other players step in. That's the whole point of a squad.
Exactly right.
So I don't.
If they have flu outbreak, it's the same thing.
Yeah, and I know there's issues with, because if players are unvaccinated, they have to isolate if they're a close contact, etc. So it can spread quite quickly through a squad. And you can have a lot of players unavailable sort of out of nowhere. But to be, because I mean, I was at the ground in the bar just after 11 o'clock, to be honest, and we still weren't sure whether the game was even going ahead. And then you get a thing coming through saying
about the game before, the day before, yeah. Villa versus Burnley.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, isn't it? The Premier League should, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, should have come out a couple of days ago and said either all the games are off this weekend, or all the games are on, and if you have to play your under-23s, hard luck. Because you can't pick and choose which games you call off based on circumstances that are individual to each club. Because you've now got a situation in the league where some teams have got 3-4 games in hand on others. Now, personally, I'd always rather have the points on the board.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of the same sort of thing, but it's hard because there needs to be some directive. Because if you've got a squad of 30 players and you've got a squad, I mean, as like Jake says, we've used 18 players all season, broadcasted at the least in the whole league. The proportion of how many injured, ill with COVID is different because, yeah. You know, you it's all more to do with the proportion of your first team squad, I think. But no one really knows what the criteria is. And I think that the frustrating thing is when they call something off 2 hours before kickoff. Like, I feel for the Burnley fans. They had one postponement because of snow. Then they were travelling, Burnley fans travelling all the way to Watford. And then that gets called off 2 hours before. That's costing time and money. And then they're going up to play Villa. And again, you know, as fans, you're spending money and then it gets called off. It needs it's a bit late for it to be like called off, and I feel for the fans. But I do think the Premier League have got it right in the fact that, for me, if they have a break and they stop the league now, then when does it start? You stop it. When do you start? Because if you have a break, like some have called for, some of the managers have called for, and a reset. You've got to get back into training. You think, when do you start? And the other thing that we have to bear in mind is the fact that the Premier League is starting early next season, because of the World Cup. So there's less of an opportunity to push these games at the back end of the season like there was a couple of years ago. And I was talking before the match, if one of the things I think would be the sensible thing to do, and funnily enough, it seems like they're talking about it. I think Manny and a few others have mentioned it. If there's one game that they could have an argument for saying, let's not play that game and put it back, it would be the game in between Boxing Day and New Year, which would be the equivalent of the Arsenal game, because they do have an automatic break around about the 15th or the 16th, which they could put that game back to. Because with squads being small because of COVID and stuff like that, and playing a lot of games in quick succession, if they do pick up injuries, they're less able to cope. So taking that game and moving it seems to be a sensible option or compromise in the middle to get through it. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I can see that. My only sort of skepticism would be, I think if we're going to start postponing whole rounds of fixtures, there has to be a reason. So if we say, right, we're going to take out this midweek round of games, they have to say to the clubs, right, get your issues sorted, get your outbreak under control, you know, shut your training ground for a week if you need to, isolate the whatever it is that you need to do, because on this date, the fixtures are all back on regardless. Because otherwise, yeah, all teams will do is they'll say, oh, but the next game comes along, oh, we've still got seven cases, can we push our next game back, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to end up in a situation like we are at the minute where I think we had 4 out of 10 games have been gone ahead this weekend.
Well, all of Saturday was virtually wiped out. I mean, Gary Lineker put a tweet out saying this is the running order, and it was one game. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. There was one game.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, like we've said, COVID is a really serious problem, and we shouldn't be sort of trivialising it. But I think we're going to be in a situation where clubs are going to be trying to get any kind of advantage that they can. You know, I mean, let's be serious about it. If we'd have turned up this morning and Saar, Neves, Jimenez and Cody had tested positive, we'd want the game called off. Because we're thinking, we can't play Chelsea without all those players. So, you know, I think every club is probably in a similar position where you kind of...
Oh, yeah, 100%. But then we've got a much smaller squad, so it'd be a higher percentage, potentially. Like you say, the starting 11 for Chelsea today is like... Someone said about 500 million. They've got 150 million on the bench, whereas Wolves is a much smaller squad. And these bigger squads do have advantages for the obviously these top teams have got more money. They can have more players. They can play on better wages. They can have the best players. And maybe on this occasion, it's a little bit of a disadvantage because they've got bigger squads because they've got more resources to call players from. So that's why I think it should be a proportion. If the whole of your midfield is wiped out, is that one argument? If it's just, say there's five players and all of your midfield's wiped out, but if it's spread across the team and you've got backup player, I think that's the thing we don't know is how do they work it out?
That's why I'm saying it should be either all the games are off or none of the games are off, because otherwise you're going to end up in a situation where Like Tuchel this afternoon was saying, we wanted the game called off. We're not very happy about why it was played. Now, the Chelsea team that have played today, arguably, is stronger than our team.
Yeah.
And we've got two COVID cases. They've got seven.
Yeah.
So, you know, at what point do you kind of say, well, tough, get on with it, is kind of what he's been told the Premier League have said to him. Now, I'm pretty sure the Premier League haven't said, tough, get on with it. They've probably said, well, you know, I mean, I don't even know, is there a percentage of the squad? Is there a golden number for how many you've got to have? Nobody knows or seems to know. So, like I said, at what point do we kind of, you know, draw a line? Because otherwise, like you've just said, teams could lose their entire defence to an outbreak. And then because it's only three or four players, get told by the Premier League, well, you've got to play.
Yeah, and so, that's what I think. If you're losing, like, your entire midfield or your entire defence, then you haven't got the resources to bring in. But if it's spread across various different positions, most teams have got players that are versatile, such as Wolves. You know, we've got players like Dendonka can drop into the defence if need be. You know, you've got players that can do that. And I think most teams have got a player that can adapt. But if you lose, like, all of your defence, you can't drop all your midfielders into there. So there is a certain argument. So what we don't know is how they work it out based off everything. I think there needs to be a bit more transparency. Personally, I'm all for saying, okay, that Arsenal fixture, which is, I think, that midweek fixture might go. And I think the argument will be, like what you said, right, there's your break. You need to make sure you're on top of everything. You know, you make sure that your players have got your vaccines and whatever. I mean, Wolves players today, is it any surprise that Wolves have got less COVID outbreaks when we've got all of our squad that are vaccinated? And we know that across the Premier League and even the English Football League, something like 30 to 35% of players have not even had a vaccine and they're getting the outbreaks. And I know it doesn't stop you from getting COVID, but it makes it less likely that you get COVID if you got vaccinated. And the, all of the Wolves staff and players after the match today, I've seen, like, you know, they've had their boosters today after the game.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what we've got to be careful of is being vaccinated doesn't mean you're not going to get COVID. You could still get it, and you could still be quite poorly. But I think from a purely from a footballing point of view, not to take it political, purely from a footballing point of view, if you are double jabbed and if you've had your booster, you then don't have to isolate if you come into contact with a positive case.
Yeah.
Which means, for example, in our squad at the minute, when Fabio and Mosquera test positive early on in the week, it doesn't affect the rest of the squad. They can carry on training as normal and prepare for the game. Whereas other teams that aren't all double vaccinated or aren't sort of in that position, that's why it spreads quite quickly through the squad, because you get a positive case and that means three or four players then have to isolate or then have to whatever it is. So I think that's probably why, you know, vaccination is more important. But I do think, again, ultimately, vaccination is a choice, isn't it? We can't
We won't get into the ins and all the outs of all that, because it's, you know, people have different opinions on it. I've got my opinion, and, you know, is, you know, try and keep everyone safe. But people have their opinions on it. But, like, Wolves have obviously bought into the fact that as a whole group, and then you do, like you say, we've had one or two cases, because you still can get it, but you're more likely not to get it if you've had the vaccine, because it does give you that protection and obviously seriously ill. But aside from that, I think we need some clarity from the Premier League and the FA on what the regulations are and how they're going to go forward. And then we've just got to deal with it. But at the end of the day, this Omicron thing is concerning for everyone in everyone's daily lives, isn't it? But they got the game on today and we got the points. Getting back onto the nitty-gritty of the game, who impressed you today?
I think, again, the back three and the goalkeeper were great again, weren't they? I mean, I think Chelsea had one shot on target all game, which, you know, considering they're the European champions and the quality that they had on the pitch, I think that's testament to how well we defended in terms of keeping the shape, keeping organised. You know, I think Cody had a really good game in terms of getting everyone organised. He was making the last-ditch blocks, wasn't he, and getting in some good positions to intercept the ball. Kilman, we've talked about Kilman a lot on your show, haven't we, about how much he stepped up this season. I thought Sace had one of his better games. I thought he was really good against Brighton in the week. I mean, I was watching it on television, so you get a slightly different view.
Yeah, it's not often me and you miss, mate.
I know, but
Brighton, is there any coincidence?
and then we win, I know. So, but, Saar, I think the thing with Saar, it's the confidence he gives to everybody else. I mean, because,
100%.
You know, again, the defenders can rely on him. There was a couple of times where the ball was played into a dangerous area and they left it because they knew he would be there to come and get it. And that's so much more impressive as a defender when you know, if I leave that ball, if that ball goes past me and beats me, he's going to get it, rather than, oh, I better stick my leg out and block it or try and get something on it, because they know that he's there to back them up.
He loves a clean sheet, he does, so.
Well, it's what you base your game on, because if you get a clean sheet, you're not going to lose the game. And that sounds like something that Michael Owen or Paul Merson would say, because it sounds over simple. But that's the reality, isn't it? If you keep a clean sheet, you're not going to lose the game. So build around your defence, build around that solid base, and then you can start adding the attacking players, the flair, the creativity. I think Bruno's going about it in completely the right way. He obviously looked at the start of the season and said, this is how I want to play, attacking football, throwing players forward, exciting to watch, fantastic. We lost four of our first five games and we didn't score in any of those four games that we lost.
Yeah.
And I think, in a way, that kind of, he sort of said, oh, hang on a second. I don't want to be sort of 10 games in, 7 defeats or something, and the fans are sort of starting to question me. Because, I mean, we all have to be honest. When he came in, there was a lot of scepticism about who he was and his track record and his lack of experience, etc. And, you know, huge shoes to fill with Nuno. Absolutely massive. But I think the pragmatism is shown in terms of, right, let's grind out some results. Let's build around our strength. Our strength is our organisation, our leadership at the back, that shape and that structure. And he's built the rest of the season around that. If you take those first five games out of it, since then we've got 22 points from 13 games.
That's really,
a phenomenal
really
return of points.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of those
that's
games
included, like in the last few games as well, having to play, you know, the top three title changes within four games.
Yeah, and in those three games against them, they've scored two goals, one of which was a penalty that was never a penalty, and the other one was a 94th minute goal.
Yeah.
So, you know, it like I said, that's the completely right way to do it, to build around that base. And then you can start, whether it means in January we can get some players in, or whether Bruno can then look and say, well, actually, I trust this defence to expose them a little bit more and to start pushing up the pitch, or to start playing more attacking sort of style, or changing the formation, tweaking it, pushing someone forward, like a Pedence maybe, and playing him in the midfield and just saying, just go and break that line between midfield and attack. And I'll trust Kilman, Cody Sace and Semedo, whoever, to block up and to sort that out, whether that's what he's going to do. I'd like to think so, because then that is, he's allowed to do that because of how well we've defended up to now.
Yeah, exactly. And he's putting it, I mean, at the halfway stage of the season, almost one more game, and then we're at the halfway stage, which is after the Watford game. You know, if you've got, like, you know, if we do win that game, you know, we might not, you know, Watford are scrapping, but say we won that game, we got 27 points. That would mean, if we repeated that in the second half of the season, we're up to about 50, 54 points. That's well safe. I'm hoping that we get the points. And, you know, it's looking at the table, and I'm going to come on to that, looking at the table and the points in a second. But before we get onto that, I want you to give us your performance rating and your man of the match, so we can give everyone in the chat to vote on their man of the match. And then we can talk about the league position and the points and looking ahead.
Yeah, so my performance rating would be an 8. Pushing up to, I'll go 8.5. I've got 8.5 because I thought we were really good today. And I thought, like I said, we more than matched them. First half was probably as well as we've played against those top three teams. I know we talked, didn't we, after the Liverpool and the City games about the fact that we did a lot of defending. We were very, very deep. Well, we weren't in the first half today.
Yeah.
We were adventurous. We were aggressive. We got up the pitch. We looked to stretch the play, stretch the game, which was really positive to see. Second half, Chelsea stepped it up, and it was as simple as that. It wasn't anything that we did particularly. They were just really, really good second half. We couldn't get the ball back at times, could we? And it was, and again, testament to the defence that we sort of grinded out the 0-0 in the end. Although, saying that, they didn't really create too many chances.
One real chance, wasn't it? Which Star was there for? That
Star
was it.
Made a terrific save, didn't he? Yeah. Man of the match. I'm really awkward. And Ruben Neves in. So,
my God. So we've got Marcel. Right,
yeah.
We've got Saïs. We've got Cody. We've got Neves. Right, guys. What we need to do, right, you've got four nominations in the chat. We've got Saïs. We've got Marcel. We've got Neves. And we've got Cody. Those are the four you have to pick through. So the overall man of the match, which one are you going for? This is like Strictly Come Dancing. This is, we've had the judges vote and now we've got the audience vote. So in the chat, and if the producer could count the votes up for us as they come along, Cody, Neves, Saïs, or who's the other one? Who's the other one now? Cody, Neves, Saïs.
Marcel,
there we go. So you put your votes, the producer will count up the votes for us. So I'm just going to, coming back to the points, and obviously we can, 24 points if we get something out of Watford, we could be on 25, 27, which is a good position. I would hope that puts us in a strong position to know that we're going to be, you know, we're going to win at least four more games between now and the end of the season, which is probably because you're going to be looking at 36 to 80, 38 points is kind of that safety mark.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully we can strengthen in the January window and we can push on. Looking at the table as it is now, there does seem to be a gap opening up, between the top seven and the rest. And I think it's going to be hard for us to get into that seventh place. Tottenham, You know, their West Ham potentially could be caught, potentially. But, like, to get in the top seven, top six is going to be a bit of a test. I think if we go on a run, it could happen. But it's looking like eighth, really, where we're looking at sitting at the at this point in time. So maybe we could have a run for Europe or not. But top half finish, I think we'd accept this year, especially after the start. I would hope that Bruno Lage would be confident in his team and the position and the points that we could have a real crack at the FA Cup. What do you think, Jack?
100%. And I think actually going back to what we've been discussing, if teams are having a fixture pile up and then they have to prioritise league games over FA Cup games, that will probably play into our hands a little bit more again, won't it? I mean, I think when we had Nuno in charge for those 4 years, the only sort of cup competition he took sort of massively seriously was the FA Cup in the first year in the Premier League, where we were comfortably top half, weren't we? We weren't going to break into the top four. We weren't going to get dragged into the bottom half. And he played a strong team all the way through and we got to the semi-final. Then after that, there wasn't anything at all, was there? I mean, last year we had that great opportunity against Southampton, didn't we?
And he played an understrength team.
And he made a lot of changes and you know, a lot of people were frustrated by that. I mean, Bruno played quite strong teams in the League Cup, didn't he, at the start of the season? I mean, I saw you at Forest, didn't I, right at the start?
And we said that's
a much stronger team than I thought it needed to be.
Yeah.
And obviously they really enjoyed it and they played some great football. And we should have beaten Tottenham as well on the second round as well, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
So, like you say, I hope if we get to sort of the Sheffield United game, we've got enough points in the bank that Bruno thinks, actually, these players can go and can take us into that competition. And Sheffield United will be a tough game. It's no doubt
it'll be a tough game because, you know, they've come down from the Premier League. They're having an interesting season. But it's a home game against the team in the Championship that have got probably other priorities of trying to make a run for the playoffs. I'm taking it that Gibbs White will be, who's been quite key for them, he'll be cup-tied, won't he?
Well, you'd hope someone at Wolves, when they did that deal, put in the contract that he can't play if we get drawn. You'd hope someone has done that, wouldn't you?
Because it's inevitable. I would be happy with Gibbs White playing against us in the cup.
He'd score, wouldn't he? He would score.
It
would be inevitable. But let's just hope he's not going to play it, and we can get through. And once you get through, the draw's there, isn't it? I mean, you could get drawn against Manchester City, and you think, oh, well, that's that done for a year. Or you could get another Football League club and push on again. You're only 4 or 5 wins, aren't you, from Wembley once you get into this point? So,
well, once you get through the, I think it's the third and the fourth round, you're into the last 16, aren't you?
Yeah. So again, you know, and if we're at that point,
that's
again,
one game away from a quarter final.
Yeah, and once you're there, you can start dreaming, can't you? And you can start.
Mate, I'm still dreaming about that semi final, mate. That
nightmare or a dream, wasn't it?
But, it's a nightmare. Yeah. You're not wrong. I've still not watched it back, you know, even 2 or 3 years later. I've still not watched
it. Don't put yourself through it, honestly. I had to go and watch England play at Wembley just so I could say I'd seen a team win there. It was so sort of eating away at me, that Watford game. It's Wolves, isn't it?
I know, it's what we do. It's so Wolves all over.
Like
I say, my dad, it's his lifelong dream to go to Wembley final, sing goodbye with me, and I really hope it happens, which is why I so want Wolves to win the FA Cup. It would be unbelievable, and there's no reason we can't beat any team on our day. We can. With the players that we've got, we can do it. Merv says Morgan Gibbs-White can't play. It's in the rules, so that's good news.
There we go. That's
Carl says loan deals can't play against parent clubs. Quite interesting. Do we have a winner, producer?
Yep.
So the chat vote have taken the nominees, and we can convert with a drum roll. It's Cody. Connor Cody. They've gone with Connor Cody.
The captain.
They've gone with Connor, who has been playing incredibly well. But there we go. You know, final thoughts from you before we finish this one, mate?
Again, delighted with the result today. I think we'd have all took that before the game, wouldn't we? I know, again, there was all that stuff with the COVID. How strong were Chelsea going to be? Whoever they put on the pitch was going to be a challenge for us. And we rose to the challenge today. And we more than deserved our point. And I know we talk about, did we deserve it? Did we earn it? Which one is it? Today, we deserve that point. And it just puts us all in a really good position going into that Christmas break. Whatever happens with the fixtures, how many we play, whatever, we're in a great position to be in. You know, we support the best football club in the world, don't we?
100%.
And you can't ask for anything else than that, can you?
You can't, mate. Yeah. And this is going to be the last extra time before Christmas. You know, there'll probably be some stuff coming up before Christmas. We'll have the preview for Watford. We've got the international fan. We've got the match vlog from yesterday. But guys, thank you ever so much for supporting all the content that we put out here. Please smash a like on the video. It really means a lot. I am on as a channel 29,700 and something subscribers. I'd really love to get to 30,000 subscribers before the end of the year. So if you could twist a few arms, that would be amazing. And Jack, again, thank you for coming on. You always talk a lot of sense. People really love you. People really love you coming on to, and you talk a lot of sense. We've had some good debate today and talking about some interesting subjects as well. And what we'd also like to say to all you guys that are in the chat, all you guys that listen on the podcast, all you guys that watch it back, whichever kind of, just want to make sure that we say a merry, merry Christmas. Lots of love to you and your family and friends, wherever you are in the world, wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching. We really want you to have a wonderful Christmas and just take care of yourself. Keep yourself and your family safe. And we'll see you on the next extra time will be obviously post Christmas. And but there is other content coming up in the meantime. So from myself and from Jack, all the best. Merry Christmas. Always Wolves.
Always Wolves.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.